Without further ado, here's Jonathan.
Hi guys, how are you? Can you all hear me? Awesome. So first, thank you to Valerie and the Ann Arbor Library for having me here. Thanks to Mishlug for coming. And thanks to all of you for loving Lego bricks. So I am a journalist by trade. In 2010, I wrote a book called Lego, A Love Story, that is about adult fans of Lego bricks. And so what happens is a lot of you play with Lego bricks as a kid, but then you forget about them because you discover soccer or boys or girls or anything other than Lego bricks, and you enter a period called the Dark Ages, which is the worst period in the world because it means you stop playing with Lego bricks. But sometimes something awakens you out of the Dark Ages, such as a Spider-Man Lego figure, or something you see, or a set, or you have children of your own. And then you discover that there is a world of people who never stop playing with Lego bricks. And the best part about this is the longer you build with bricks, the better you get, and kind of the more amazing creations you can build. So I'm happy to talk to you guys about that book, either afterwards individually or in a question and answer session. But tonight, we are going to be talking specifically about Lego figures, the minifig, and this is a really, really fun talk. Now, I encourage participation throughout because I think there are a lot of you that probably know as much about Lego as me, if not more, and so this is kind of the fun part. So there's a little bit of test of knowledge, and then also hopefully you guys learn something new tonight. So now the interesting thing about Lego in the beginning, how many of you guys have an idea of what this is made of, if you had to guess? Yeah. So he said wood. Does anybody have any other guesses? Rubber? Plastic? It was actually, so this is made of wood. In the very beginning, Ole Kirk Christensen made toys from wood. He was a carpenter who discovered that people may not buy houses, but they'll always buy toys for their kids. And so initially, Lego made toys out of wood. And so from 1932 on until 1947, Lego toys were made of wood. Now, what's crazy to me about that is you always think of Lego bricks as being made of plastic, because that's what we know today. So does anybody have any idea what that is? So it's a diagram of the interlocking system. That's right. It's the patent, actually, for the first Lego brick. And so in 1958, Lego debuted what we know as the Lego brick. Now, what's amazing about this is the Lego brick has never changed. So if you had a brick from 1958 and you took a brick from today and you put it on top of it, you would be able to play with them together. So if your dad or mom had Lego bricks as a kid, or even your grandparents, if you were really lucky, it turns out that you can all play with those bricks together. Now, for the first about 15, 16 years that Lego existed, there were no people in the entire Lego universe. So if you built a Lego house or a Lego car or a Lego anything, you had to use your imagination or some other toy to fill it. Until these guys came along, and this is the Lego family, who debuted in 1974, so 16 years after that brick. Now, if you notice, these guys aren't really that interesting. They have changeable hair. And that's about all you could do with them. You could put the grandma's hair on the kid's hair, but that is not a lot of fun. Also, if you look at their hands, do you guys see that they're circle shapes? So the problem with that is they're not really good for doing very much. So I think Lego initially knew that those guys they were creating weren't that awesome. So they decided to fix it. Now, the first Lego guys, these are like the precursor to the minifig. So think of this like Cro-Magnon Man, but for minifigures. What do you guys notice about those guys on the top left? What are they missing? Yeah. A face. What else? Arms. What else? Yeah, legs and feet. So they're kind of incomplete. So now at the same time, you started to get more versions of that Lego family. They're known as maxi figs. But the minifig wasn't right yet. He wasn't that fun. She wasn't that fun. So Lego set to work trying to figure out what to do. Now, before the minifig we know today arrived, you first got Duplo figures. And the crazy thing is, those guys are over 30 years old, almost 40 years old. And if you look today, you can still kind of find guys that look a little bit like them. Or if you talk to your parents, they'll definitely remember playing with those guys. So now, if you can imagine, when those Lego Duplo figures come out, Lego engineers are busy at work trying to figure out, designers, how do we make a better Lego man or woman? And they did something that you should never do. Or maybe you think you should. They started to cut and saw and file to make actual prototypes. So they destroyed so many Lego men and women. And they ended up with this guy. So he's a Lego policeman. He's the first real Lego guy. Now, what's really important is this is in 1978. So this is a big year for Lego, as I tell everybody, because it's the year that I was born. But it's also the year that they started to introduce what they know as themes. So you ended up with town, which had that Lego policeman. And then on the top there on the left, that is a nurse. So what was interesting in the beginning, there was a mix of stickers and printing on the different minifigs. And then on the bottom right, does anybody know what that one is? Yeah, it's the Lego. That's right. It's the your dad owns it? That's amazing. Okay, both. Do you guys have the same dad or different dads? Different dads? Cool. So that is the Lego Yellow Castle. Now, what's amazing about that set is if your dads own it and they have a complete set, I mean, it can trade for almost $1,500, which is about $5 a piece, which is not too shabby. So if you remember, there was town and there was castle. There was a third theme that came out that same year. Does anybody know what it is? Space. The cool dudes always know that space came out. And so I want you guys to think about this idea. In the very beginning, all the figures in the Lego universe got along, and peace reigned. It was glorious. What do you think this is? So it's a diagram of the Lego man. So this is actually the patent for the Lego man. And so in 1979, when you have all these Lego guys, what's fascinating is that is the first time a Lego guy got a hairpiece. Because prior to that, all Lego men were bald, so they all wore hats to hide that fact. But if you look here on the figure, you'll see on the very top, there's this round part. And that actually has a hole in it. So in case any kids swallow a minifigure, they won't choke. So I think Lego was already thinking about the idea that we may want to eat our Lego men. So everybody got along, you remember this, until 1984, which is when the first competing factions in Lego Castle came out. So you had the Black Falcons and the Crusaders. And it was a terrible, gory fight, but it also led to conflict across the whole Lego universe. So this one is a bit unconventional, but the next kind of Lego figure to appear was in the Lego Technic line. So this guy is actually 2.5 times as tall as a regular minifigure. So he's a giant in the Lego universe. So if you compare him to this guy, so he'd be up about to like his knees or his chest right there. Now this guy is one of the bad space guys. In 1987, out comes Blacktron. So think of these as the villains of the space universe. Now what's cool is with him also comes the first space droid, which is basically like Lego robots. But the other reason I put this picture in is because it shows you the scale of Lego people. So this guy here, the droid, is about 2 bricks tall. But the average minifig is about 4 bricks tall. So if you look, the droid is just about half of that Lego guy. What is this guy? He is a monkey. Now, he came out with Lego Pirates. And Lego Pirates is when things start to get really fun for Lego. Because you start to have minifigures with lipstick and peg legs and things that make almost no sense but are delightful to play with. What do you guys notice about that monkey's hands, though? They're yellow. So whose other hands are yellow? That is right, the minifigures. So all Lego monkeys actually have minifig hands. Now in 1995, the Lego skeleton debuted. Now here's what's crazy about the Lego skeleton, is whether you are in space or in a city or in a castle, he's the same no matter where he shows up, because apparently skeletons are the same across the whole Lego universe. Now I want you guys to look very closely at this skeleton, because there's something that he has that is missing in the next slide. Does anybody see what is missing from these guys that the skeleton had? Toes? The answer is not toes. Bodies? It is not a body. Not a head. So look at his head and then look at these heads. His nose. So minifigs don't usually have noses. In fact, they didn't have noses until 1986, in part because the Lego designers decided that it was more fun and it kind of looked better from a design perspective if minifigures didn't have noses. So skeletons have noses, but if you look at most minifigs today, they don't have noses. Yeah.
They don't have ears either.
They do not have ears either. You're correct. So guys, that brings us to 1997. We're getting closer and closer to the present. And this is a big year for Lego for two reasons. One is this is the first Lego video game featuring a minifig. So there was a thing called Lego Island starring a pizza delivery minifig, unfortunately named Pepperoni. And it was not a very fun game. It was for your computer. Your parents can tell you about computer games. They are not as awesome as the games you have. But it laid the framework for all of the games that you see today, like Lego Batman and Lego Star Wars and Lego Indiana Jones. Now, the same year, what do you guys think that thing on the bottom is, if you had to guess? A Barbie? Anybody have any other guesses? A doll. So this is actually a doll that was made by Lego. It was called Lego Scala. It was a line of figures that was intended to compete with Barbie because at the time, everybody at Lego worried that they were losing out to things like Barbie and toys that you could tell a story with. So actually, her hair is made of plastic, the same plastic that they used to make Lego bricks. And she looks just like Barbie, but she's a Lego figure. Now, if things had gone the same way, you kind of worry that Lego might have lost its way and not be the company that you like today and have all the toys and sort of as big as it is. But thankfully, in 1999, a lot of things changed. Who are those guys? Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. So Star Wars debuted, which is Lego's first intellectual property. And it was a massive hit. And it also sort of set in motion the direction that Lego would go in thereafter, where they realized that it was okay to partner with people who had really interesting themes and ideas. Think of this as sort of that second introduction when we had castle and space and town. Now we're starting to get all these new characters and figures in the whole Lego universe. And so the next year, what's this? Jurassic Park. So the next year, Jurassic Park came out, and it's not this actual set. I'll tell you why this picture's up behind me. But what came out was something called Lego Movie Studio. And what it let you do was create stop-action movies. And so it was released in tandem with the first Jurassic Park movies back in the day. Now, the idea was to get you to use your figures to create fun little movies, kind of like the Lego Movie that just came out. So the reason I put this one up is because it's a pretty cool evolution of what happened then. So in 2009, there was something called Lego Cuso, which became Lego Ideas, which is where you as fans or you as would-be set designers get to send in your creations. And if 10,000 people vote for those creations, then the Lego group will review them and they'll decide if they're going to make them into a set. So recently, this is one of the creations from a fan who got 10,000 votes and was reviewed. And unfortunately, the Lego group decided that they won't be making this set. But because Jurassic World is out now and this thing is so cool, I wanted to show it to you and also tell you that idea that if you have an idea for your own minifig or set design, you can go to Lego Ideas and submit it, and enough people like it, and the Lego group thinks they can make it for not, you know, too much money, they will make a version of your creation. So let's go back in time, though. So remember, we're in 2000. We just entered this century. It's kind of exciting, and then it gets crazy. Because in 2001, who's this guy?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. So you have Star Wars and Harry Potter come out within 2 years of each other, and Harry Potter's really important because it does things like introduce two-sided minifigure heads and all these various exciting things and building in different colors like purple that you didn't have before. And so it sets in motion kind of the next 10 years. Following year, who's this guy?
Spider-Man.
So if you want superhero bragging rights, 2002, first superhero to ever be made, Spider-Man. So Spider-Man officially at the top of the superhero universe by the nature of the fact that he was immortalized in Lego first. Now, the next year, this is part of the talk, is there are certain minifigs that are really rare. And because they are rare, they are worth a lot of money on the open market. So there's actually been 9 different versions of Boba Fett, who's from the Star Wars universe. This one is unique because it was only in one set, and it has printing on both the chest and the legs. So if you happen to find one that is an exact match for this, that figure could go for almost $200, which sounds crazy, but you should absolutely sell it and then use it to buy more minifigs. So let's skip ahead to 2007. And so this is where we start to get into what's called modular building. Now, what's really cool about this is you guys have an event every year called Brick Bash here, right here in Ann Arbor. But there are Lego conventions all across the country just like that. We're getting to the point where there's about one a month where you can go and bring your creations and other people bring their creations and you share. So you might want to build a Lego hospital and I might want to build a Lego police station. But we can build them to the same scale in what's called modular buildings. This is Cafe Corner. It's the first set that Lego introduced. And it allows you to build to a similar scale where it's a world fit for minifigs. And what's really neat about that is that way when you're at your house and I'm at my house, when we finally do come together and have our giant presentation, all our buildings will fit together. So in 2010, I think Lego finally caught on to the idea that everybody loves minifigures, and they released the first series of just minifigures. So they weren't in sets. They actually just came, and you could buy them in poly bags or just little bags. You didn't know what you were going to get. They're actually up to their 14th series, which will be out in October of this year, and apparently includes Bigfoot, which sounds kind of amazing. So now we start to get really close to present day. In 2012 and 2013, who's that on the left?
Superman.
Superman, who is not as cool as Spider-Man. And then on the top right, who's that?
The Hobbit.
The Hobbits from the Lord of the Rings. And the bottom right? Ninja Turtles. So this goes all the way back to 1999 when Lego paired with Lucasfilms and got the Star Wars universe involved. Now we have all these cool creations coming out attached to sort of all of the movies and things we love. Around the same time, too, this is the second in the series of rare minifigs that we'll talk about. So this is Mr. Gold. Mr. Gold was in those series that we were saying in the 10th series to celebrate the release. There were only 5,000 made, and he is worth somewhere around $1,500. So if you find him, hang on to him, or buy more minifigs. So this is one of the coolest things about working for the Lego company is eventually, if you rise high enough in the organization, this is your business card. So on the front, it will have your name, and then on the back, it will have your contact information, like your phone number or email. And so instead of having to hand a business card to somebody, you get to hand a minifig, which is you, and infinitely more cool. So this is the portion of the talk where I am now open to taking questions, and you guys are absolutely free to go to the restroom, and then we'll talk about that build challenge because I'm excited to see what you guys can make. Do you guys have any questions about Lego or minifigures or other things in the Lego universe?
All right, you ended your book on a very interesting point.
Sure.
With your first kid.
Yeah.
Give us a short version of the past 5 years.
Okay. So in the past 5 years, I've actually had a second child where my wife has, and I played a small part in that. So we have 2 children, the oldest of whom is 5 and going on 6, the younger of whom is 3. So we're just getting to the point as a family where we were all starting to move away from Duplo and build very small spaceships and arenas for our minifigures. And actually, you guys are going to take a very important oath in a short while, wherein which you raise your hand and promise not to take any of the minifigs, because there will be a 5-year-old and 3-year-old who will be really sad if they don't come home with me. But so far, knock on wood, I've had a lot of trusting and good Lego friends, so I hope to see Chewbacca come back to me. But it's been great fun. I mean, that's been sort of one of the secret joys of this project, is I didn't have kids when I started writing the book, and as we got to the end, we had our first daughter, spoiler alert, but it's been enough years that I think we can all cover it. And so now building alongside her and watching her get to the point where we're almost even, because I built about as well as a 5-year-old, and she probably builds at a 7-year-old level, it's been really gratifying, because the act of storytelling attached to what you build is one of my favorite parts with Lego Brick, so having discussions about what we're each making is wonderful. Yeah.
Does Lego care about the secondary market?
Sure. So the question is, does Lego care about the secondary market in minifigures? And I feel like Lego has no official stance, per se. I think their hope is not, there is always going to be an intentional scarcity in that they only make so much of anything. But their goal is not to turn it into a collectible. Their goal is to create something that will be played with. I would say the one exception, and this goes probably to fans, is in the recent past years, there's been a lot of special releases. San Diego Comic-Con just happened. So typically there'll be a superhero minifig that just comes out that's an exclusive at Comic-Con. And I think their hope is that it would go to fans of that superhero. But the way our world works, if something is scarce, unfortunately, I think it becomes more of a commodity that appears on eBay. So I think there's no way for them to control what happens and what people choose to do with it. But I think they also recognize that minifigs are a bit more collectible than they might have first thought, and that's what led to something like the minifigure series, where you can actually just get the guys. I also know in part it was a slightly intentional, probably, decision to try and change the imbalance between male and female minifigs. So at one point, there was 16 male minifigs for every female minifig, which if you wanted to build a sculpture or project of any size was kind of challenging because you kind of ended up with a lot of dudes in it. So the introduction of that minifig series and some new sets, there's been more female minifigures and things like female hair pieces, which used to have a lot of value on the secondary market because they were really rare commodities. Like, people would pay tens of dollars for just a simple wig that was only available on one girl because it turned a part that was a male minifigure into a female minifigure. It's a very long answer to a good question. Yeah?
You mentioned the colors, and I think they only started with the flesh color with the Harry Potters.
So there was, it's a great question. It's about the colors of minifigs and why are they flesh colored. So yellow initially was thought to be the most ubiquitous and neutral. And the idea is it's not a real color per se. It's like the Simpsons. But when they started with real people, eventually they had to introduce flesh colors. So there were some in Harry Potter. There were also the NBA players came out in 2003. So you started to have their black basketball players or African-American basketball players. So you'd have an African-American minifig because that's what somebody looked like. So until they started to recreate movie characters and real people, essentially all Lego people were that beautiful shade of yellow.
Besides people submitting their own ideas to Lego, how do they do marketing and do they do public, surveys to see what type of themes to introduce, or do they just go off of kind of what's hot at the time?
Sure. That's an interesting question in terms of how they develop new ideas. And so they have a whole series of designers and product teams internally, which are kind of weighing two different options. So you can work on a specific existing theme. So something like castle or town, you would always have a new fire truck. You know, every year the fire truck is going to get rebuilt. But then from there, it's a question of launching different themes within sometimes that are subset. So ninjas appeared and you suddenly got different themes within castle. I think Lego is very savvy as a toy company. They don't necessarily do what you would think of as traditional focus group testing, but their designers are sort of always coming up with new ideas and talking to the fan community in part. Some of their most recent innovations, like Lego architecture is a great example, started with a Lego fan who built giant sculptures that were actual scale recreations of real landmarks and buildings, and eventually caught the eye of Lego and became somebody who now works for Lego designing those sets. It's a guy by the name of Adam Reed Tucker, who was an architect, who is now a Lego architect because he builds real scale Lego things. So I think there's this beautiful synergy sometimes between the fan community and between the company, where their goal is not necessarily to subsume or take over that community, but also recognize that there are some really interesting ideas from people who love building bricks.
What's your favorite Lego minifig?
Oh, that's a great question. My favorite Lego minifig, I have to pick one? So if I had to pick one minifig, there is, from the first series, there's a guy in a gorilla suit who's holding a banana, but you can take his head off and it's a guy, like a little minifig guy in a gorilla suit. I think he's my favorite.
When the person who made the Jurassic World Lego set, now they have the new Jurassic Park Lego set, why didn't they use that Jurassic World Lego set from back then?
Sure. So the question is, why didn't they use the one? So part of the one I showed you is actually, it's from present time. So I was talking about the initial set that they made that I didn't have a picture of. So I suspect that part of the reason they didn't build that set that we saw is because they were coming out with the Jurassic World series already. So it was a question of having a partnership that was in the wings as opposed to creating a set independently of that partnership. But good question.
What is your favorite set?
Favorite set? Wow. You guys are asking great questions because it's like picking your favorite kids. Wow. I have no favorite children, for the record. My favorite set, if I had to guess. So there is a secret, it was an agent set, which is a giant figure that is essentially a robot with a man inside who controls it. And he creates a giant walking robot. And the actual name of the set, I couldn't tell you, and the pieces have been lost to time. But that one is my favorite set.
All right, opinion. What did you think of the Lego movie?
Sure.
And the second part is, what do you think it's done for Lego as a company or for people who are viewing the movie or hearing about the movie and dealing with Legos?
Yeah. I really enjoyed the Lego movie because in a lot of ways I thought it was as much for adults as it was for kids. A lot of the messages, particularly about how to play with your kids and some of the humor attached to it, was generational without question. The idea that that 1980s space guy has a cracked helmet, which is, I mean, that sort of resonates with everyone of a certain age. So, and I've listened to it on countless car trips where I can't see it, but I can hear it. So it has legs if I can hear it a lot of times and still really enjoy it and want to watch it. I think for them, it sort of helped Lego explode. I mean, there is this element of where I don't know if we're getting saturated with Lego or it just feels that based on my own interests, but it seems to be touching a lot of different fandoms. Right now, if you are a geek of sort of any variety, whatever you're into, it appears to be like there is a Lego subset attached to that thing. And so as a result, I think you could point to something like the Lego movie as part of that because it is in so many different universes now. But then also it sort of got to that heart of why I think parents and kids still really like Lego bricks after 5 or 6 decades. It's because it's all about creating and stepping outside yourself and creating something fun and not worrying about what it'll look like until it's done.